Amen. My wife pat me on my leg when I was getting up, so I know what that meant. So it means be timely. So I've already got my instructions. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, so I'm trying to be obedient as far as that's concerned. But good morning, Abundant Life. Good morning, Seed of Life Worship Ministry. It is so good for us to be here and worship with you on this day, and we always look forward. I know I do. I always look forward when I get the opportunity not to come minister, but just to come to be in your presence and in the presence of your great pastor and Ms. Brenda. I told him a couple of years ago, he keeps trying to push me off, but I keep telling him that we are his adopted children. I know Marquell is his son, but I'm his adopted son. And the Bible says that we are adopted into the body of Christ. So I have just as much right as the Son of God as Jesus Christ. So I got just as much right as anybody else that comes to and say to their son, I'm his adopted son. Amen. Amen. So we're so glad to be here this morning. And I'm not going to take a lot of your time, but I do want to give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For without him, we are nothing. And with him, we are everything. And then we want to thank God for your pastors. There are not only your pastors, but there are our pastors. And, it's always good. I'm very, very particular about who I let speak into my life. I'm very particular about who I listen to. And I can say that this man sometimes it's just in general conversations. He just speaks so into my life, and he has sent me a text in the middle of the day or early in the morning that he've got a word from the Lord, and the first thing he said, well, I'm not a prophet, I'm not your prophet, but I believe that this is what the Lord, and me, when if I know that you're a man or woman of God, and you tell me that God says, then I'm going to believe you. Not that I believe you, I'm going to believe God, the God that's in you. And so I take that as a word and take that as a promise for God. And then I'll be remiss or couldn't go home if I did not acknowledge my beautiful wife of 29 years, would be 30 years in September. And I just thank God for her because she does keep me straight. Sometimes too much, but she's the one that keep poking that finger. And when I don't want it, she's always poking. So I thank God for her, and I thank God for my daughter Jessica, who's here with me this morning. Lauren couldn't be here. Lauren seems to always miss these, but she's working, so she can't be here today. And then I thank God for my Seed of Life Worship Ministry family, the house that God has given us the ability to under-shepherd. And I thank them for all that they do. And I'm not going to ask them to stand because we don't do that. We don't make people stand up. But I just thank them for so much because they have to endure. I get to practice on them a lot. So hopefully I'll do okay this morning. If not, they'll let me know tomorrow. So matter of fact, this afternoon, I get a text from somebody. So, but I'm so grateful and thankful for to be here. I'm not going to take a lot of time because I do have a word from the Lord for us. And I just want to try to make certain that I get that out to us this morning in a timely manner. So I'm looking at the clock. So I know by 11:25, we're going to be walking out. So 11:20, I need to be winding up and making certain that we can do that. So those of you who got watches on, and when you start getting around that time frame, I'm not going to look at my wife. I'm going to be looking at y'all because she's going to be waving and all this. So as we get to the close of that point, just start. She'll let me know, okay? We already got eye to eye, right? Okay, she's going to let me know, okay. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And here's what the word of the Lord says to us. It says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I have a word for us this morning, and it's simply what I believe that the Lord is speaking for us in this period of time. And it's a promise to us, and he basically says these words to us. I will be with you. I will be with you. We're here this morning on the second Sunday, and some of you may say, well, he hadn't prayed yet. Well, we prayed in the back, so I'm going to get into it. I've got time limit. We're here this morning on the second Sunday of January 2020. And while a lot of us, we celebrated moving from 2019 to 2020, we sometime as we move from one period of time to the next period of time, look at it as just passing through. On December the 31st, many of us, wherever we were, my wife and I, we were at Myrtle Beach, we were watching the ball drop. But wherever you were on that night, when the clock struck midnight or 1 second after midnight, and we went from 2019 to 2020, it was just, well, we've gone from one year to the next year, but I'm going to challenge us this morning to let's look at these things a little differently, because I believe that we take for granted the things of God, and when we don't understand the ways of God and how God operates, we sometimes miss the blessings of God. And I'm here this morning saying that God is not a yearly God. God is not just does things on year. God just doesn't do things that, let me see what's going to happen this year. God is a futuristic God, and one is that he knows what the future holds, and he's always a step ahead of us. He's always planning for us. And so we have to get into that point where I'm just not planning for 2020, but I'm planning for the decade of 2020. Because, see, God moves in decades. He moves in his time. If you ever study the book of God and start studying the word of God, you'll see where God moves in decades. And decades is a measure of 10 years. And if you take a look at the number 10 in the Bible, the number 10 is significant in the fact that 10 represents wholeness, but it also represents completeness. It also represents responsibility and authority in government, and it also represents a testimony. So when we take a look at Moses in the book of Exodus, God gave Moses the 10 commandments, which was the law. We take a look at we ourselves. We have 10 fingers. I know we said we got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, but we got 10. I got 10 toes. Our numeral system is the decimal system. It's divided up into 10. 10 is the number of wholeness or the number of completion. So when God tells us in Malachi, he said, bring all your tithes and offering to the storehouse, he requires us to bring a tenth. And the reason for the tenth is that the tenth is representative of the whole. That even though he don't ask for your whole check, he asks for a tenth. But when I give him the tenth, it becomes my responsibility due to the government of God in order to take care of the things of God, in order that I may have a testimony that God is good and I obey his word. So when I bring my tenth, I'm not bringing the whole, but it's as if to God I am bringing the whole. So when we take a look at where this time frame that we're in, we're just not dealing with 2020, or we just left 2019. We left 2010 through 2019. And so the question is, how was your last decade? Not your last year. How was your last decade? And since we moved from that last decade into a new decade, how was your next decade going to be? I challenged the church on last week is that on the next couple of weeks, I want them to bring some goals, and we're going to take a look at it, and I'm going to call them up and ask them what their goals are. Not just goals, but I want to know how you're going to achieve that goal, and not just goals for 2020. I want you to put some goals down to go from 2020 to 2029. Because at the end of 2029, I want you to be able to look back and see what God has done. Or has he done anything for you? God moves in decades. And we come to this book of Joshua. We see that the book of Joshua is one of those books of power. It's a book of the people coming to take over. It's a transformative book as well as a transitional book. It's a powerful book. The New Testament companion to the book of Joshua is the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, it starts out by telling us that God has given us all things. Joshua starts out that God has given us all things. In Ephesians, it says that all things that God has given us, all things that pertain to life and the godliness in Christ Jesus. It spiritualizes what Joshua literalizes. In Joshua, we are inheriting the land. In Ephesians, we are inheriting life. So let me set this text in context for you, because the only way that we can truly understand what's in Joshua is that we put it into proper context. Because, see, everything in the book of Joshua is moving. Everything in this first chapter is moving. They're in transition. And the only thing that is stable is God and his promises. They're not only in transition physically, but they're also in transition spiritually, because now there is a new leader. So I have 6 points I want to highlight this morning, and I'm going to be brief in all of them. But I want us to get an understanding, because it's not about 2020. It's about 2020 through 2029. It's about what is it that God has for us in this upcoming year. I heard a great preacher say this. He says, beloved, it has not yet appeared or been revealed to what we shall be. But when it is revealed, I know if we shall be like him. Somebody preached that. I heard it somewhere not long ago. I don't know where it was. So we see in order to get an understanding, so in order to understand what's happening in the book of Joshua, I got to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Because some of this passage of scripture, when we go to Deuteronomy 31, and we take a look at verse 6 and 7, listen at what's going on. Because when we see Joshua, we look at Joshua, we read Joshua as this is just happening. But let me tell you something. Our God is a God of wholeness, and he plans. And God does not hide anything from his people. In the book of Joshua, In Joshua 31:1, we see that Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 1, we see Moses meets with the people. And Moses starts off by saying, on this day, I'm 120 years old. In other words, it was Moses' birthday that he met with the people of God. And he begins to tell them and rehearse to them the things that was going to happen. Now, God did not catch Moses by surprise about him not going over into the promised land. Even the people of Israel knew that Moses would not cross over. Joshua already knew. But Moses now began to rehearse to them, and he begins to tell them, down in verse 6, he said, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He had just told them that God was going to give them the land that he had promised them. So Moses starts out with the church, and he tells them, he says, be strong and of a good courage. And then he goes from the church, and then he grabs Joshua, and he tells Joshua, be strong and be of courage, because God is with you. He won't leave you, nor will he forsake you. And then God comes in, and he tells Moses to take Joshua and go into the tabernacle, because there I'm going to speak to you, but I'm also going to inaugurate him. And in the book of Joshua, we lots of time we think about Joshua 1 is the commissioning of Joshua, but it's actually not, because Joshua is commissioned in Deuteronomy. God, Moses lays his hands on Joshua in Deuteronomy. God inaugurates Joshua in Deuteronomy. So Moses speaks to Joshua and begins to tell Joshua the things of God. And then God tells Moses and said, okay, now, after he goes through all of this scenario with Joshua, God comes in and tells Moses something. Moses had already told the people to be strong and of good courage. But God comes and said, these same people that you just blessed, they're going to turn around and they're going to curse me. They're going to turn their backs on me. In other words, he said, they're going to be just like their fathers. So it's no wonder that God spoke to the nation, be strong, because the temptation was going to come that when he takes them into the land that promised them, that they will soon forget him and follow after the other gods of the land in which he took them. And he tells Joshua to be strong, because Joshua now has to deal with the same stiff-necked people, or the descendants of the stiff-necked people that Moses had to deal with. So now we come to Joshua chapter 1. And it begins where it says that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So we see that the nation of Israel, along with Joshua, is now, my first point is a period of transition. They're moving. Not only is the book moving, but they're moving. All of a sudden now, they have this new leader. This person that before was just the assistant to Moses. Joshua now has to take up the realm. He is no longer the assistant. He is the man in charge. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a leadership position, but it's always good to be the assistant. Because, see, if you're the assistant, then you can always blame whoever's in charge. You know, Pastor Carl told me to tell you this, as Brother Steve would say. It wasn't Brother Steve, but it was Pastor Carl. And so Joshua, in this point now, where he comes, and Moses is now dead, and he takes up the ram. So now, here are these people that only knew Moses as their leader. Remember now, their parents had all died in the wilderness. So all they knew as a leader was Moses. This Moses that took them to the Red Sea and had this rod that was in his hand, his staff in his hand, and stretched out his rod over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted, and they walked across on dry land. That Moses. You know what I'm talking about. That Moses. The Moses that went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that God said, let my people go, and Pharaoh refused it. And then the 10 plagues that came along. That's the Moses we're talking about. The Moses that cried out for them when they were hungry and God sent manna from heaven. The Moses that went to God and cried on their behalf when they complained about the manna and said that the people, they're thirsting, they need some water, and God gave them some water. The same people that now that had the bread and the water began to complain about, we ain't got no meat. And so God sent quail down from heaven. The same ones. This is that Moses. That's all they knew. And now Moses is no longer there. So they're in a period of transition. My second point, see, I'm moving. I'm like the book, I'm transitioning. I'm moving. My second point is that you've got to put the past behind you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Pastor Carl, in reading this, I always was curious, why did God have to tell Joshua that Moses is dead? Joshua already knew that. Because see, Joshua 1 comes at the end of their grieving period. Moses has already been dead. They had already been mourning Moses for 30 days. God now comes in and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. As if Joshua didn't know that. So my point was, why did God tell Joshua that Moses was dead? Because God was telling Joshua, it's time to forget about the past and to move on. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that the Lord would have me to tell you this, is that your Moses is dead. 2019, as much as it could have been your best year, it could have been your worst year, is dead. When the clock struck 12, this last decade was no longer there, is dead. You can't stay in 2019 expect to achieve what God has for you in 2020. It's dead. And some of you are in some situations that's dead. Some of you in some relationships that they don't walk out on you, and you still texting, and you still calling, and you still sending flowers, and you still riding by the house late at night, or you still on the job. You know, it's dead. It's dead. And you got to realize it's dead, because as long as you don't realize it's dead, you're going to be captured in the past. And you'll never walk out the promises of God, or you'll never receive the things of God by living in the past. Some of you have lost some jobs and you're worrying about your job. That's okay. It's dead. It's dead. Tell the person next to you, Moses is dead. So he tells Moses, he tells Joshua, he says, Moses is dead. And God is telling Joshua that because he wants him, along with the people, to move forward. See, looking back, we'll kill you. If you don't believe me, ask Lot's wife. You can't become what God wants you to become by looking back. As good as it was, you got to let it go, because it's dead. See, God is a moving God. And if you read that text, God doesn't come to Joshua
sympathetic. He gave them 30 days to mourn. And then he come to Joshua and said, okay, Moses dead, let's go. Because his next worry was, arise and go over to this Jordan, you and these people. So in other words, the word arise means to get up or stand up and move. We're looking in the past, and God is ready to move. And here's the thing about God. God is not a standstill God. He is moving. And the question is not whether God is moving, is are you moving with him? Because he will move with you or without you. God is a moving God. So he comes and he tells them, I want you to now get up and go across this Jordan. My third point is crossing Jordan. Crossing Jordan. He tells him, I want you to arise and cross over this Jordan. See, it's easy for us to look back in the past. He said, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. They are ready to claim the inheritance that God has promised them. The promise didn't start with Moses. It started with Abraham. This is the same land that God promised Abraham when he told him that to leave your father's house and go to a land or country that I'm going to show you. And the Bible said Abraham, not knowing where he was going, he believed God and he left. And the Bible said that God accounted it to him as righteousness. So this is that land. So now they are ready to go over this land, but before they can get to this promised land, there is something that's standing between them and the promise. And it's the Jordan. The Jordan River. Now, normally, the Jordan River is not a problem. Because where they were situated at Gilgal. And normally, at Gilgal, the Jordan River is only about 100 feet wide. I don't have a good sense of distance from here to the back of that wall, but I think the back of that to the door is maybe less than 100 feet, but it may not be. Really, 100 feet is about 30 yards. If you look at football, the goal line to the 35-yard line, that's about 100 feet. I'm a sports addict, so I'm going to put it in sports term, right? That's about 100 feet. That's normally how wide the Jordan River is. But knowing our God, he doesn't take them there when the Jordan River is 100 feet wide. He takes them during the season of harvest. He has them camped out during the harvest time. And at harvest, the Jordan swells from 100 feet to over a mile wide. In other words, now it is impossible for 2 million people to cross over a mile wide river. But isn't it like our God to put us in a circumstance where you can't do this on your own? It's going to take a supernatural miracle in order for this to get done. The Jordan. And all of us have Jordans from time to time in our life. I'm not talking about their Jordans or like Mike. I'm talking about obstacles. I'm talking about rivers. I'm talking about things that comes in our lives. See, the Jordan represents that thing that separates us from the promise of God. Jordan. Everybody in this room has a Jordan. Some of you got multiple Jordans, but you got Jordan. And so when we look at the obstacles that stand between us, and our spiritual victory in the promised land or in Canaan, we may feel like that we are unable to conquer and become victorious in the land that God has promised us or enjoy the abundant life that Jesus had proclaimed for us. Jesus came in John 10:10. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God just didn't come for you to live, but he came that you may have an abundant life. Now, this morning, I don't know what obstacles you may be facing. I don't know your joy. I don't know your situation that you're going through. I don't know what you're having to deal with in your relationship. I don't know the issues that you're having on your job. I don't know the fact that you may have lost a job. I don't know about the people that's talking about you. I don't know what the doctor's report may have been when you went to the doctor. I don't know that he says that you may only have 6 months to live. I don't know. I don't know what your joy is. But I do know a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that we can ask or think. I do know a God who specializes in overcoming the overwhelming obstacles that may lead his children to victory. And in his word, he said, and this is the victory, even our faith. The prophet Isaiah pins it, and he says it this way in Isaiah 43:2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I don't know what waters you're passing through this morning, but I'm here to tell you, God says, I'll be with you. I don't know what rivers that you may be floating in that's overflowed you and trying to overflow you, but God says it won't overtake you. I don't know what fire that you may be experiencing right now, but God says it won't burn you. Not only will it not burn you, you won't even smell like the fire. My fourth point, the danger of standing still, and she doesn't have this. I'm sorry. You know, God slips things in on you sometimes. But it'll all fit together. Well, let me put it this way. Let me combine two. In Joshua 1:3, it says this. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. See, fulfilling the promises of God requires that we walk by faith. Listen at what the prophet Habakkuk said. Habakkuk says this in 2:2-4. He says, then the Lord answered me, said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Let me back up. For the 2020 is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just, the justified one, those who are born again, washed in his blood, they shall live by his faith. And so while reading this passage of scripture, it says, write the 2020. Write the vision. It said, make it plain. So whoever reads it can run with it. In other words, God said, I'm not giving you a vision just to sit on it. You got to run with it. He said, for the 2020 or the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Now here's the sentence that caught me because it has contradictions in it. It said, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. But you just said, though it tarries, right? Though it tarries, wait for it. But then at the end you said, it will not tarry. There's two parts. See, the first part is you. See, when God gives you a vision, and that's why you got to have a vision for 2020, for this decade, not for this year, for this decade, the vision that God gives you, even though the vision or the promise may have been in the past, it's about your future. When God gives you a vision, doesn't mean that the vision is going to come to pass tomorrow. When God gave me the vision for starting Cedar Life Worship Ministries, it was years before, probably 15, 17 years before we even started the church. So I got this vision, and I'm thinking, yeah, we're going to do this. I remember one day I got home from work, and I was praying, and the Lord asked me this question. And he says, are you ready? And you know me. Yes, sir. So I'm thinking, it's just around the corner. But 15 years later, see, we put a time on God's vision. And when it doesn't come to pass when we think it should, we think that it's tearing. Well, it's tearing for you, but it's not tearing because he said the vision has an appointed time. There is a time when God, what God speaks to you, will come to pass. It will not tarry. It may tarry in your sight, but it does not tarry in the times of God. Because at the point, he says, it will come to pass, it shall not lie. Whatever God speaks, it will come to pass. Maybe not in your timing, but in his timing. I gotta hurry. Joshua 1 and 5, the next point, the promise of his presence. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. He gave Joshua a promise. He gave him the promise of victory over every enemy that he would ever encounter. He gave him the promise of the presence and the power of God. Then he gave him the promise of the faithfulness of God. In verse 6, he talks about the promise of absolute victory, and then he talked about the promise of God keeping his promise. So why was it that God promised Joshua? Why did he keep telling him and encouraging him that no man shall be able to stand before you? Because when Joshua crossed the Jordan, he did not know what he was going to face. But he was going to face 31 kings in order to conquer the land that God had promised him. See, just because you have a vision and just because you have a promise, God never said that you wouldn't have to fight for it. I put it this way. You don't have to fight for the promise. You just have to fight to obtain the promise because the promise is already there. You're going to have to fight. So he tells them, get up. So my point to us this morning about 2020, you can't keep relishing in the past because it's dead. But I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever God has spoken to you, write it down and make it plain so that he that sees it runs with it. Because though the vision tarries, wait for it. Because it's going to come to pass. It will not tarry. The only way God promised to you don't come to pass is if you stand still. See, there was a danger in standing still. See, you can't stand still and receive the things of God. Because God is always moving. Let me give an example. Peter. Peter was in a boat. They was headed across the other side. Jesus come walking over the water. They thought it was a ghost. Peter cries out, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. In other words, Jesus gave him a promise. He said, well, that wasn't a promise. Yes, it was. If Jesus said, come, that meant that he promised him that he wasn't going to sink. He was going to be able to walk on the water. Peter gets out of the boat. He begins to walk on the water. All of a sudden, he began to hear his boys back in the boat talking about what you're doing. You're a fool. Why are you stepping out there? You can't walk on no water. All of these things began to speak to him. And then he gets out there in the midst of the water, and he began to hear all this noise from the boat, and he begins to hear the wind and everything else. And the Bible says when he took his focus off Jesus and he began to focus on the wind, he began to sink. I would like to submit to you this morning, not only was it because he looked at the wind and focused on the wind, but when he took his eyes off Jesus, he stopped walking. As long as he was walking towards the promise, he kept walking. But the moment 2019 came back in the picture, the moment you saw that telephone number pop back up and you answered, the moment you went to your job and that same person came to you and then you cursed them out, the moment that you stopped following after God, it says he began to sink. So my point to you this morning is you can't stand still. We got to keep moving. 2020 is not about standing still. 2020 in our physical being is, as far as our eyesight concerned, is that, as the doctor said, you got 20/20 vision. It says you basically got perfect vision. You can see clearly. There's a song said, I can see clearly now. And the only way that you can see clearly is through the word of God. Let me progress on to that. My last point. The secret of success. See, there was a reason why Joshua was successful. He says, only be strong and very courageous. I think that's verse 9. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The reason why Joshua was successful is because he heeded to the word of the Lord. He said, the word that Moses gave you. And see, sometimes we try to get religious, and when the pastor comes in and give us a word from the Lord, well, who does he think he is? He ain't God. I can hear God for myself. I don't have to do what he says. No, you don't. But if he or she is a man and woman of God, I implore you to listen and to hearken to their words, if their words is according to the word of God. Because God told him, he said, don't depart from the words that Moses spoke to you. Because what Moses spoke to you was my word. And the reason why Joshua was successful is because he obeyed the word of the Lord. I got 4 sub-points that I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this real quick. I'm looking at the clock. Here are the things that you have to do in order to be successful. It's not just about standing still. It's not just about walking. It's just not just about moving. It's not just about talking. Here are 4 things. 1, you got to know God's word. You got to know God's word. Joshua had to know what God said. And God said it to Moses, not to Joshua. He gave the word of the Lord to Moses. He left the word to Moses for Joshua to follow. And in order for Joshua to be successful, he had to know what the word was. And because he knew what the word was, then he was able to be successful. The second thing was, not only did he have to know the word of God, he had to talk about God's word. In other words, Joshua just couldn't have the word in his heart. "That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." But we had to talk about that word. Because, see, the word just ain't for you. See, he had to rehearse that word for himself. He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he had to talk that word. See, there will be days when he would become discouraged. There will be days when the children of Israel will act like a plum fool. There will be days when those kings would come and was trying to kill him. He had to always go back to the word of God, rehearse the word of God to himself, not only to himself, but also to the people of God. Because Moses told the people, be strong and of good courage. Because they too will have to go into the battle. So you have to know God's word. You have to talk God's word. And the next thing is that you got to meditate on his word. It's not just enough to know. We all know walking biblical encyclopedias. We've all run into people that can quote Genesis chapter 1:1 down through the book of Revelation. They can tell you every scripture in there. When you say something wrong, they can tell you, "Well, Brother Dangle, that's you misquote that scripture." They can tell you that. Oh, they know the word, and they talk about the word all the time. But there ain't no meditation. Just because you know it, just because it talks it, doesn't mean that it has been planted. The only time you get fruit from the word of God is when it's been planted. "That word have I hid or planted in my heart, that I might not sin." The only reason why he couldn't sin against God, because it was the word of God that had been planted. Agricultural society, you can have seeds in your house all you want. But until you plant it, you don't get the fruit. He said, this word, you have to meditate day and night. He said, meditate in it, not meditate on it. He said, meditate in it. You just can't let the word get on you. It has to get in you. Because when the word get in you, it doesn't matter what anybody say, you know what the word says. See, if it's on you, depends upon the circumstances that you get in, you may not say what the word says. But if the word is in you, see, you have to learn how to rest not on the word, but rest in the word. See, I don't rest on the promises of God. And that's nothing wrong with worshiping, standing on the promises of God. We say that. We sing the song, "I'm standing on the promise." There's nothing wrong with standing on the promises of God. But I'm going to say it's better to stand in his promises. Because, see, I'm not seated. I'm not resting on Christ Jesus. I'm seated with him. And in him, I live and move and have my very being. I'm in him. And the last one was that not only do you have to know God's word, not only do you have to talk about God's word, not only do you have to meditate on God's word, but then you got to obey God's word. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So when I begin to obey God's word, in spite of my circumstances, then I'm telling God, "Lord, I trust you." And I'm here as I close. I am closing. Putting stuff up. I don't know what you're facing. But I know you're facing something. I don't know what your Jordan is this morning. I don't know what your circumstance may be. I don't know if it's your health or if it's your children or if it's your marriage or if it's your job. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God said, and he told me to tell you, that whatever you're going through, I'll be with you. He never promised you to move the situation, but he did promise me that I'll be with you. When he challenged Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, Abraham took his boy and was going up to the mountain, and he told his servants, "You wait here. Me and the lad, we are going up there to offer our sacrifice." He said, but we'll be back. This tears me in addition. We'll be back. In other words, I don't know how God is going to handle this Jordan that I got across. The promise that he gave to me, he's now asking me to sacrifice. I got a deal with sacrificing my son, but there's also the possibility I got to deal with Sarah when I get back, when I tell her that I killed my son. I don't know how you're going to work this situation out, Lord. I don't know how you're going to deal with this Jordan, but I do know that somehow in all of this, you're with me. And that's the word that God has for us for 2020 and this decade. Be not dismayed, for God will take care of you. It may not happen the way we want it to happen. We may not have an answer. And one of the things that the longer I'm in ministry, the more I despise, is that ministers always trying to justify God or have an answer for God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you have cancer. I don't know why you have the disease. I don't know why your husband died or your son died or your daughter died. I don't know why they laid you off that job. I don't know why that person walked out on you. But I do know this. God said, I am with you. So whatever you may be going through, just know that the Lord said, I am with you. When you feel like you're all alone, know that God says, I'm with you. Late in midnight hour when you're crying on your pillows, there's no one else to talk to. You can always pick up the phone and just dial J-E-S-U-S. Because it said, I'm with you. Some of you this morning, you're going through some horrific things. Or you have family members that's going through some. I told Pastor Carl this morning, come on, Pastor Carl. Come on. That's what I have to do. I told Pastor Carl this morning, we were just talking about different things. But we had one of our church family members call or send us a text and said that they wouldn't be here this morning because their first cousin's funeral was today. But she was telling us that her first cousin was at the age of 43, passed away. And then the next day, one of her best friends passed away. I can't answer that. One of my childhood friends that we were growing up with, his son was a classmate of Jessica. They graduated the same year from Wilson High School, and he went off to college, she went off to college. He graduated from Coastal Carolina on December 17, 2019. And he died on December the 20th, 2019. I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I don't know. That's a Jordan that I hope I never, ever, ever have to cross. The hardest thing for a parent to do is to bury their child. I don't want to ever have to do that. And all I can do is tell them that in spite of not knowing, I can tell you this, that God says, I'll be with you. So as we leave here today, just know that God says, I'll be with you.